Blog Talk Radio.
And bring my brother Don Fleming in. Don, you there, my brother?
I'm here. What's going on?
Oh, what did you think about that song, man?
Pretty song, man. Of course, that is music from today's featured artist. I know from the last time we had a little technical difficulties, but we got her back on. Hopefully in the next few minutes, we're going to have her on. The lovely Miss Carrie Taylor is going to hang out with us. So, oh, man.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a pleasure because I get a chance to talk to her again, and she's just amazing. She was on, I think she was on my show last time. I think she had to go because her and her friend were going to an NBA game. So,
Lord.
So I didn't want to hold her up for an NBA game with her friend. So.
Right. I tell you, priorities. Anyway, man, oh, man. Hey, let me just stop and start all over. Welcome to Solar Records Radio. And this is Indie Blues, Jazz, and All That Jazz Show here on Solar Records Radio. We are so excited to have you guys hang out with us today. And we just want to, it's just the time of the week where we it's hump day, right? So we just want to chill, man. And so I always say good food, good company and good music is an amazing combination. And so I'm eating. I have a nice meal here in front of me for my show on Wednesdays. I always get it provided for me, and so today I have tuna, and it's grilled tuna with it's on top of a salad. And lots of vegetables and stuff, and carrots and stuff on the side, and garlic bread, and I can't think of what that's called, but mushroom. And so it's great. I'm excited. I love it. And I got some good music, got good company, and my brother Don Fleming. And hopefully we'll get our artist on, and we can just chop it up with her and find out what's going on in her career, because she does have some great things going on, and we're excited for her and proud of her. And that's why we feature her today, because, you know, this is a difficult business to be in, and to, you know, there's so many talented people out there in the world that do music. And so, you know, we hear a very few. We only get to hear very few of the ones that are very talented. And, you know, and just have something to offer, because only so many can fit in the system. And so, but I'm just really blessed that we are able to, you know, to meet with this young lady and share her story, and let her share her story with us here on Soul Light Records Radio. Shout out to all the listeners. What's happening, everybody? How y'all doing? We hope you are well. We had that terrible tornado and just the other day here in the United States, and it just killed a lot of people. And so our hearts are just like going to the families that you know, that lost people along the way there. We're so sorry for your loss, and it's just a very sad thing. And as a matter of fact, we have it coming back here, another one coming, storm coming here, and going down to, you know, all of the south of the United States. So we here in Texas are looking out for that. It's crazy, huh, man? When Mother Nature is ready to do her thing, I mean, she does her thing, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mother Nature. We can be completely wiped out. You know, I mean, it is just those. I mean, so this hurricane, I mean, tornado came down. It was a mile wide, and it stayed on the ground for 2 hours straight. It wiped out a whole town. The whole town gone.
Wow.
It's just amazing. Wow. Even, you know, even the streets are gone. They you know, the concrete and all that stuff that they put down that we drive on, whatever that is called, that stuff is gone. From where the hurricane was, wiped it away. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's powerful. And so, I hope God doesn't get upset with us enough to just want to wipe the earth clean. Jeez. we are doomed, right? We are completely doomed. Hey, what are you having for lunch today, Don?
I don't know yet. I have no idea. I think I'm probably going to make some, I guess, homemade tacos since I'm home. By the way, my voice, I'm around 95% right now. So
if there's moments
where I still feel a little hoarse. You probably hear a little bit of it now. But I don't know. Maybe some tacos or something. I got some work to do at the desk, so I'm here hanging out with you. I'm multitasking, so, but, you know, Carrie Taylor, you know, man, I'll stop a bullet for her, you know. But anyway, that's another story. But it's all good, though. It's all good. Definitely definitely a pleasure to have her on. We get her on soon. But, hey, let's get into some music, man. We got indie, blues, and all that jazz, man. Do you have a block for us?
I can, or if you want, it's up to you. You or me, it doesn't matter. I'm ready to go.
You know what? Yeah. I think, I got one. I got a block for you. I got a block for you.
I like it.
You know, okay, it's only fair.
It's only fair.
Well,
do what you do. I'm gonna move out your way.
What I want to go ahead and start off the show with one of my favorite songs. Of course, it came out around the summer of '93. What a great saxophonist. See if you guys remember this song. Of course, this is music from Walter Beasley. Name of the song is called "Don't Say Goodbye." You guys keep it locked right here. Of course, it is Wednesday, Solar Records Radio.
Then I looked around and you were gone. You told me to say that it was over. What can I say?
Glasper Experiment, of course, from his Black Radio 2 album from 2013. That was Calls featuring Jilly from Philly. Of course, everyone knows Jill Scott, I'll just say. Jill Scott and Robert Glasper from the Robert Glasper Experiment. I love that song. What a weird video, but it's all good. Before that, gave you some classic Art Porter featuring the lovely Miss Layla Hathaway from 1996, One More Chance. What a beautiful song. Of course, Art Porter, the late, great Art Porter, great saxophonist. As a matter of fact, he's from Arkansas. Tragically, no longer with us. He had a boating accident back around 98 out in Thailand. But what a major work with Joe Sample, Layla Hathaway, of course. The Marsalis brothers, and of course the father, Pops Marsalis. Just an amazing artist, gone too soon. Of course, again, that was One More Chance by Mr. Art Porter. Art Porter Jr. and started off the block, classic Walter Beasley, another saxophonist, a favorite song of mine from the summer of 1993, Don't Say Goodbye. Of course, we got an hour and 35 minutes left of the show. Of course, it is indie blues and all that jazz. So we might have some blues later on and whatnot. But I had to give you kind of a smooth jazz block. Would that be considered smooth jazz?
That was it was good, whatever it's called. You know, I don't. It's the, that's the strangest thing, that the titles, how you determine what genre music is nowadays. It's just, it keeps changing. They keep adding.
I don't know. You know, I guess for purists, I don't know if that's I guess that's kind of a. I'm not going to say a bad thing, but it's something that gives people that indifference, because, you know, you want certain categories. I guess you're so ingrained to say, hey, instrumentals, focusing on the music part, the bebops, the scats, and all of that. Okay, that's jazz, but just the singing, the secular gospel, we call R&B, of course. Basically, again, it's gospel but secular. Of course, I just mentioned that. But you got that category, and that's R&B. Now, that's considered traditional R&B, or in some radio stations, they say it urban adult contemporary. So, right. You know, everything is just so... And I use this joke, and forgive me for all of my listeners out there. You know, soft rock of the 80s, you know, like the late 70s, early 80s, which you consider easy listening and soft rock, we call it white R&B, you know? So it's there's so many, you know, everything gets lost in the sauce, and sometimes it gets convoluted. But again, I hear a jazz saxophonist doing his thing, whether it's Everett Harp or Najee or Gerald Albright or, of course, Art Porter, Walter Beasley, all of these cats doing their thing, Boney James, Kenny G, and plus I played the saxophone, so those things are near and dear to my heart. So you have those little riffs in an R&B song, you throw it in a jazz category. But, you know, again, it's all subjective at the end of the day. I don't know who are the puppet masters behind it, if you want to get into the whole conspiracy theory about it, but we just enjoy it. We enjoy it at the end of the day all the same.
Excellent. Here's a question for you. Although record companies are not holding the music scene in its hands anymore, has the indie music evolved to be more creative? Like, if our indie artists now, that they don't have record companies telling them what they should, you know, what the image is, what the music should be, do you think that any artists now that they have the freedom to do what they want to do, do you feel that they now are more creative that way now?
From my viewpoint, and of course this is my opinion, and like I said before, it's all subjective, I think the passion and the hunger is there. You know, through that independent apparatus, I think the talent, you know, sometimes, you know, the talent might not be there yet, because, you know, when you go into the, you know, especially in the 70s and 80s or the 60s, 70s and 80s, you had like the A&R department. So you had that, the polishing of the artist. Now, not saying that you can't self-polish or whatever, when you go through that independent the independent way or whatever. I'm just saying, to me, it seems like there is that hunger, there's that passion, and sometimes it does give you that expression to be free and do the music that you love to do. Now, again, does talent coincide with that? Not necessarily, but the passion will always be there. I think when you talk about the pros and cons of the music industry, one of the pros is, as I mentioned earlier, is you talk about all of these artists and developments and you know, again, the polishing of the artists. Like when you talked about, we had the show about Barry White and Motown, if I remember a few months back, and we talked about the quality control meetings that he adopted from working at the Ford plant, because, you know, of course, Detroit, Motor City, you know, you had all of these GM plants and things like that. And that's one of the things, he implemented that into the polishing and the artist and development and all of that, all of those things. You may not have that backing. Again, not saying the passion is less or anything like that, or even the talent is less. I don't feel like I'm contradicting myself. I just said sometimes the talent, and again, I don't want to feel like I'm going around the world just to answer your question, but I want to give you context.
I think
just the fact that you have that machine behind you to develop your sound, develop your brand, the market, the etiquette, all of these things happen to be a part of that artist and who the personification of that artist. And then the music is just, you know, the music behind it is just kind of like that added incentive. But just to answer your question, I think just a simple the simplicity of it, I think, you know, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But again, how you feel as far as your talent, the freedom to do what you do through that independent apparatus, I think to me that may be better. Some people may want to be polished. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it goes to the next question, and I just want to know if this is what you're saying. The next question is: do indie artists develop and keep more of their originality? Is that what you're, you know, suggesting? Someone.
Well, you have the freedom to do what you want on the indie label, or on going independent, or putting your music on YouTube or Spotify or whatever. I think your freedom is your freedom. I think not saying that you're going to lose that freedom if you go into a major label. I mean, you hear the horror stories, and it's probably more yes than no as far as the image changing, but at the same time, you know, when you think about the Supremes, you know, they had to take etiquette classes, you know. Martha Reeves had to take etiquette classes, you know. She had to have good diction, so she was the receptionist at Motown, so Barry would practice and hear her voice when people would call, and she'd be like, Motown Records, or whatever she would say. He listened to that. Again, it's all about having a machine to develop your creativity, or to mold, or on the con side, or the bad side of that. And again, this is my opinion. Sometimes that molding changes you, and you lose that creativity in some cases, and maybe in a lot of cases, arguably. But again, I'm not saying neither here nor there. I just think, you know, when you go through indie label doesn't necessarily mean being all together free at the same time. I mentioned that, yeah, you get a little bit more freedom and whatnot, but just putting your music out there on the net, I mean, you have the freedom to do whatever you want on that end. And if they sign you, I'm sure there are some stipulations when you're signed to a record deal. So, I mean, but I think this is more of a your question, a Wardell question than me, you know, because you were there. You were at ground zero.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, I wanted to get your opinion. I believe that what you're saying is right on point. I'm on the inside. It's true, but I want to know what those think on the other side.
I got you.
Right, and so, but because, you know, just because I'm on the inside don't make me right, and it doesn't make you wrong. It just, you know, we just.
But it does give credence. It does give validity to your experience. Again, you come from your vantage point, and you know, right. All the people, all they do is listen. No one's saying that you are the. What you're saying is the absolute of the music business. It's just that, you know, from your perspective, being inside. I mean, it's people still hear you. People still take those gems of wisdom.
So as an artist, it's the freedom is good, but it comes with so much more responsibility, because now that you have the freedom to do what it is that you want to do, if it doesn't work, wow. You know, you don't know why it didn't work. You don't know if it's my promotions, is it my music, my timing, did I not do something right? Did I not have the right people singing? You know, so when you don't know, you don't know. Like what I mean by that is, is this. I've been in a situation where there have been A&R people and there would be meetings and stuff, and we all would sit around at the table and make decisions based off of, what they felt about each one of the songs that we played. And we would sit down, listen to each song and critique it, and everybody would say what they feel about it and how to go promote it and what market it should go to and when we should do it and which song we should put out first. And those were really a blessing. It was tedious, but it is, that part of it was so good because it is just like the part when we're in the studio writing the music and you got different people coming in and playing their parts and doing their parts and you're pulling it all together. So it's just a whole nother hat, right? It's a whole nother department. And to have this other department, chiming in on this same song, on this same piece of work, it is so powerful and it's so good, And then it goes to another department after that. And so after the A&R department, it goes to the promotional department. And then the promotion people will sit down and strategize and everything. And that was, we took all of that for granted when it was there. Mm. Because, all we could think about was, either we liked it or we didn't like what they came out with, what they had to say, because sometimes they would make us go back in the studio and remix a song or change parts and stuff, and we had to go back and do that. So that was the side of, dealing with people and having major companies making decisions for you and helping you along the way, which is really a blessing. Mm. Disguise. Now we realize it, how much we miss it when it's not there. Like my song, "You Won't Miss Love Until It's Gone." And so now all the pressure's on these indie artists like myself. I'm getting ready to put it out, right? Dynasty put it out. Mm-hmm. And thank God for the UK that it did really good over there. But, Dynasty should have did good, somewhat decent everywhere. And so,
right.
But and whose fault is that? Is it ours? Because we didn't know, we didn't have the power of a record company to make sure that it took off in the United States, to make sure, that it did good, in Japan, and make sure that it did good, in other regions, other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to take the good with the bad. So we do get to be a little more creative and do what we want to do, when we want to do it, the way we want to do it, But at the same time, you don't have all of that support around you.
The music industry has changed so much because of the advent of the internet and accessibility for a lot of, independent people that want to, do their thing. They can just upload something. It's all about an upload instead of, having that talent person go out versus the talent person going out to city to city or whatever limited budget that they have and look for the next person out there. Or even, the outlets like the Star Searches. This is pre-internet. This is pre-internet. So these things, the beauty of it is the fact that we have all of these outlets, and again, accessibility to understand that it's not the stronghold isn't on a lot of these big time record labels, these big conglomerates. They don't have that stronghold like they used to have. Granted, the money might not be there either, when it comes to, that stronghold. So, again, it just depends on that person and how that person you know, wants to be molded or at least expression of their creativity to use that machine to enhance that creativity. So there's a big difference there.
Absolutely. Man, I just got to say that that's, you know, this is good talk because it's right where I am right here and right now. And I am at, and you know what, maybe I can get an opinion from all of you guys, because right now I'm at the point where, you know, I have different people on my team saying, maybe you should do two different CDs because I'm two different people right now. And what I mean by that is that okay.
Everything good?
Yeah, I had to sneeze. So, why would you make the noise? I was trying to. Okay. So anyway, so crazy. So what I did was, so what I'm doing is that, you know, I'm talking to the record company now about it. I want pins. Should we put two different CDs out, or should I put out just one CD? Because one half of the CD is what I did, what people expect to hear from me, you know, pop R&B, funk, you know, dance, music, and all that kind of stuff. But who I am today is a man who loves God, and I want God in everything that I do. And not only do I want God in everything I do, I want to share with the people that love, you know, all kinds of music to be able to hear some songs that I think will bless them. So I'm trying to figure it out. So what's your thoughts?
I had a quick question.
Go ahead.
What do you have, what is your contractual obligation? Is it kind of like a, I don't know how that works. Is it like a mandate that you have to do a multiple albums? Or is it, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So the I am signed to me. So then so I'm signed to me, but I'm distributed by a worldwide company. And so the distribution company is saying, you know, well, whatever, I do all the, we have to do all the artwork. Greg's been doing all the artwork for us. And so we do all the artwork and we do everything that, you know, that we pay for everything. And then the distribution company are the ones that put it in the stores, put it in places that we don't have access to, and get promotion. They will promote it as well. And they're also going to take over my social media accounts. So that they can promote through my social media accounts as well. So, because there's something going on with social media that I had no idea, and that's a lot of money to be made. And so, but you have to know how to do it, and that's what they do. So my obligation is to give them the product. I am the artist. I am the songwriter. I'm the producer. I am the record company, and they are the distributors. So my question to the distributor is, should I do two records so I don't confuse the people? If they come in to hear R&B and then they hear Christian music, is that going to, you know, throw people off and make them a little irritated? Or, you know, should I not be concerned about that? Or should I be concerned enough to say, you know what, I'm going to give you a choice. Here's a CD. Here's an EP, which is – an EP is smaller than a CD. There's less songs in the EP, anywhere from 6 songs, you know, up to 9 is an EP, and anywhere from 9 to, you know, 20 songs is an album. So I'm just saying, do two EPs, one with, you know, the secular music and one with Christian music, or do one, and one half is secular music and the other half is secular, is Christian music. Your thoughts?
I think you go with your heart, man. I think if I mean, of course, you probably have a title, an album title or whatever. You pray into the, looking up in the sky or something and say, oh, this is, or name or whatever, and be like, oh, this is my Christian album. I'm sure it's all in the detail, man, but I think people know you, people who know your music and know, you know, where your heart is and know where your passion is. Of course, you're probably going to put out, of course, a more secular compilation album versus versus a Christian album. And then if you put it out at the same time, I think people, it's not going to be a hard bargain, a hard sell to try to distinguish the two, because I think a lot of people will know where you're coming from. So, hey, go for it, man. I'm behind you.
He makes you laugh. He brings you out in style. He treats you well.
I am totally behind you.
Okay, good. Now, I just switched to another microphone. Can you hear me?
What is going on with you and these mics, man? You're killing
well,
me.
Greg said I'm breaking up, so I had to keep on switching until I get it. I got to listen to the man. He's just sitting there listening, so he knows what's going on. So hopefully everything is good. Was that breaking up in your
On the board here, I'll just let the listeners know, on the actual audio board, Wardell has 1, 2, 3, I'm going to say 4 different mics.
Three.
1, 2, 3. And I'm like, I'm seeing the red and the blue. Red means you're on the air. Blue means that you're off. And there's a green one where we talk to each other off air. But it's like one switching from green to, from blue to red, to red to blue, then jump to green. Come on, man.
It's
you're killing
like
me.
It's looking like Christmas.
I know. You got Christmas lights over here. But you know what? We got an hour. We got an hour and 13 minutes left of the show. Of course, I want to go ahead, and if it's okay with you, before we get Ms. Taylor on, I feel like some blues, man. I got some classic blues in the repertoire. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
You been waiting for some blues?
Yes, sir. Make it happen.
Because, make it happen. I know you got a little, nice little blues block, and I added a couple of songs and whatnot. And but you know what? I got a couple of blues that I want to play for you and see if I can. I played it a couple of weeks ago. This is one of my favorites. Of course, I've heard the song way before Cadillac Records. There was a movie out back in 2008 that had Beyonce play Etta James, and I think Jeffrey Wright was Muddy Waters, and Columbus Short played Little Walter. And a lot of people, you know, said, hey, this song, I heard this song on Cadillac Records. Cadillac Records was a good movie, but like I said, I was, you know, I grew up around music, so it was just one of those things that's like, oh, that kind of just, it kind of like, oh, okay, that song's on the movie. That's a good thing. But anyway, let's take you back. 1955. All the way to 1955, some classic Little Walter. This is called My Babe. You guys keep it locked. It is indie blues and all that jazz on Soul Art Records Radio.
Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating, my babe. Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my babe. Two little baby, my babe. My babe, I know she love me, my babe. Oh yes, I know she love me, my babe. Oh yes, I know she love me. She don't do nothing but kiss and hug me, my babe. True little baby, my babe. Don't stand no cheating, my babe. yeah, she don't stand no cheating. Everything she do so pleasing, my babe. True little baby, my babe. My babe, don't stand no fooling, my babe. Oh yeah, she don't stand no fooling, my babe. Oh yeah, she don't stand no fooling. When she's hot, there ain't no cooling, my babe. True little baby.
Records Radio, of course. That was music from Eddie Cleanhead Vincent. The give you all of these classic blues. I used to do a classic blues show almost 20 years ago. I still had a few songs in my repertoire. Kidney Stew from Mr. Eddie Cleanhead Vincent.
Kidney,
of course,
Stew.
I started off the block. I had to start off the block with another classic. Who did I play? My Day. My Little Walter. I love that. I love that song. I want to go ahead and do another classic blues all the way back to the 1930s because, you know, of course, blues started, you know, I mean, blues derived from, of course, the hymns and you know the people talk about the slaves and the communications that you know that we didn't want master to hear, you know, and it all kind of went into song. And of course, you know, after that was Jim Crow, and there was still certain types of communications that we did through the music and how we tell stories. And I want to take you all the way back on this one. Then we want to come back. Definitely want to come back and talk a little bit about it and talk about the history behind these beautiful songs, man. It's just something about that classic blues. That so it's only 2.5 minutes long, so we're going to come right back. But I want to go all the way back to Robert Johnson. And Robert Johnson, of course, everyone arguably say he is like the father of the blues. He is like the, of course, definitely the king of the Delta blues. Of course, you remember the story of him going to the crossroads and making a deal with the devil. But I want to take you all the way back, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 1936. Don't quote me on it. I might have the year wrong, but it goes all the way back. You can definitely hear it. But this is called Crossroad Blues by the late, great Robert Johnson. You guys keep it locked right here. Of course, it is Indie Blues and All That Jazz Wednesday on Solar Records Radio. Listening to Solar Records Radio. Yes, that is music from, of course, the father of the Delta Blues, Mr. Robert Johnson, Crossroad Blues. Of course, the story behind that was, of course, he went to this crossroad and out in Mississippi in the middle of nowhere and stood by this tree, and he met with the devil. Devil taught him how to play the guitar the way he did, so he made a deal with the devil. And the devil would take his soul later on. These stories are just amazing. And I'm going to tell you, here's a cool another story. You know, and I don't want to get too political about it because, you know, a lot of people use this word as some pejorative or some trigger word. You know, in the news now, everyone's talking about the word woke, right?
Yeah.
Wardell?
Yeah.
Everyone says woke is this and anti-woke and woke. Well, one of the first artists to use the word woke in the song, and of course everyone knows woke means to be aware, to be socially conscious around the things that are around you. For some reason, people took that word and vilified it, villainized it, whatever, and it's scaring off scaring off people, which, you know, it's a boogeyman, which is BS to me. But anyway, one of the first artists to use this in a song was a brother by the name of Lead Belly. If you guys remember Lead Belly, Lead Belly was, a blues artist. Some of his greatest music, of course, he was born in Louisiana. I know he did a lot of, he has family down in, if I'm not mistaken, down in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. A lot of his music in House of the Rising Sun, Where Did You Sleep Last Night, a lot of the great music. And in one of his songs, he says the word woke as being a step ahead of Jim Crow. And he used it, if I'm not mistaken, it was around 1939, somewhere in that vicinity of year. But it goes all the way back. So the word woke is not like something that we made up a couple of years ago. So just wanted to go ahead and I might have some, if we have some room in the library, we might throw some Lead Belly in there because I love classic blues. I'm a big classic blues fan. We talk about the B.B. Kings and things like that, but I always go back to Skip James. I go back to Robert Johnson and Bessie Smith and Lead Belly and Sonny Boy Williamson. So all of these artists, you know, are a part of, you know, that whole, a lot of them, you know, a lot of them were woke. A lot of them were woke, and you know, they just had they just played it, you know, they just used their awareness through these songs, you know, through these codes. Sometimes they were codes. So but yeah, man, if we get some room, man, I have to clean out my library a little bit to throw in a couple of Lead Belly songs, but man, if you get a chance in the near future, man, we're gonna play some Lead Belly for you, man. And Well, I don't mean to just hijack the show, but I'm sorry, man. I just wanted to kind of add that, you know, because a lot of people are using that word, again, as like this trigger word to scare people. It's a boogeyman, and it shouldn't be that. But woke has been around for years.
Yes, and so, you know, I had no idea what woke was, and I'm testing. I'm on a different mic. I hope it's not breaking up. I reset it and everything.
I can hear you perfectly, loud and clear.
Okay, great. So, I do have other questions, and I just want to say to you, hijack the show? No, I like it when you take over the show. it's good. It's good. So thank you for, you know, it's just sharing all your wisdom and stuff. We appreciate that here. I'm glad you shared what woke was because, you know, a lot of us don't know. Like, I just keep hearing them say that, but I had no idea. I was like, what does it even mean? And now you're telling me that a black man was the one that started this, not the governor down in Florida. But I don't know what to say his name. But, you know, he runs with it. So, I have something that's important to share. So as we were talking and I was answering the question about the indie artists and, you know, having somebody there and not having someone there, I got a response from the distribution company that I want to share with you guys live on air. Okay. So, I can do this because it's all love. So this is what they responded, hi Wardell, won't be a conflict at all. I believe it's a representation of where you are at musically and in life. It's quite beautiful, actually. I'll ask Chris, who is the CEO, what he thinks also, but I don't see it being any problem at all. And so And what he's saying, he don't see it being a problem, is that you combine the record. So it's a combination of who I am and where I am and where I was and where I am today. I still love R&B. I still love pop music. I still love, you know, all that great stuff. But I've matured, you know, emotionally, and now my reactions from God music is because I want to plant a seed. I want to be a blessing to someone, to somewhere. You know, I want to let God use me for His glory, and so it feels better to me emotionally when I play that music as when I'm talking about. When I'm mean performing, when I'm playing R&B music and stuff, I'm having a great time and it's fun and it's all good. But when I play God's music, it's a whole nother level. It's completely a whole nother level. And you know, I can't explain it. You have to be there. You have to understand, you know, maybe there's something you do that one minute you're doing something and it feels one way, but when you're doing it for God, you just feel like, whoa. This is something. Mm. This is something special. It's different, and so that's why whatever I do, I want to make sure God's in it with me. I want to make sure that I take God wherever I go, and He takes me wherever He go. We're partners. He's my partner. He loves me, and I love Him back. And so I need to share that when I may never do another album again. So if this is the only album I do, I want people to know who I am. It's not just for the music, but this is who I am. I come from Marston Street. That's the name of the album. And Greg did a great cover for us. And so it's the name of the album is called Marston Street. That's where I come from. And I developed myself there as a drummer. I went to California and I became a successful professional drummer in that state in California, Los Angeles. And then after that, now I am here and I'm settled in Texas and I love God. I love God in Los Angeles as well. I played for the same church for 17 years straight. The same church. And so I knew something was happening to me after the first year, and I could not stop myself from going. It was always something I had to go to church. Everything else was secondary. Church was the priority. And for 17 years straight, I was there. And when I left there, it was a big, sad moment because it was like breaking up with someone that didn't do anything that deserved the breakup. You know, it's like, we're just going to break up, okay? What happened? You know, but what happened is that, you know, I had to move to another state. And so that's why I had to leave my church. But I love my church, Rosewood Church. And when you were out there, you weren't too far from my church when you went to meet with what's the name from Climax? Cheryl.
Oh.
Yeah, because you were in Long Beach, and that's right next to where my church is in Bellflower.
Oh, okay. So, right below Carson.
Yes, it's right below Carson.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got a response on air. We got a response while we were on air from the distribution company, and so.
Okay.
There you go. They think it's beautiful. So there you go. See. So sometimes it works out, you know, where you know they, you know, and I feel that what I wanted to do. So if they think it's beautiful and I think it's beautiful, then that's what's going to be.
I wanted to add something because the lead belly thing was off the top of my head, and I just wanted to kind of look and do a quick research on it. Arguably, it was from Lead Belly in 1938. The song was actually called Sawmill Moan.
Okay.
And the lyrics go, if I don't go crazy, I'm sure gonna lose my mind because I can't sleep for dreaming. Sure can't stay woke for crying. Now a lot of people say, oh, this is about a lost love, but the rumor is, especially like historians and some people that were near him, said, because he died in 1949, they said the lyrics was veiled protest against the conditions of a lot of black workers and sawmill plants in the South. So, you know, when you, especially of the labor workers in the South, they went under these egregious conditions. So that was one of the, they thought that was considered a protest song. So that's where one of the usages of woke was started. Not saying started, but at least some of the earlier uses of the word was from a song from Lead Belly called Sawmill Moan. And again, you know, a lot of the artists were very consciously aware. And of course, because of, you know, they're saying this was considered race music, it wasn't getting a lot of radio spins. It was kind of like a underground thing at the time. And even when a lot of the distributors or whatever were a lot of white people, and, you know, you didn't want to offend those people. So if you still wanted to protest in through the song, you had to give like that coded language. Again, it goes back to you know, slavery and the hymns and the communications there being in different tribes. So again, a lot of this is arguably where it comes from. And it's, again, it's pretty fascinating once you go down that rabbit hole. It really is.
Yes, absolutely. I switched mics again. Just Don's probably going, what is going on here in the switchboard? Greg says that you sound clear and I'm breaking up, so I don't even know why. So it is what it is, and I trust him. So, but anyway, so Don, I'm going to let you do most of the talking. Do you want to play any more blues, or do you want me to play some blues?
You know what? I got some indie music that I wanted to play. I wanted to start it off, and you can finish it because I'm going to go downstairs and get a snack. So I was going to go down.
Boy,
I was going to go down, and you know how this works. You know, for all the listeners out there, of course, Thursday when I do my show, Throwback Thursday night, every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard, every now and when Wardell comes and hangs with me, Wardell does a couple of blocks. Now, he teases me about it, but I will say 7 times out of 10, 70% of the time when he does a block, of course, he gives me this break. But I usually go down and get a plate of food, whatever I'm eating that day. So, but sometimes I'll just relax. He'll joke when he's like, "What you eating?" I'm like, "I'm not eating anything," you know. But again, I'm gonna go ahead and, if it was okay with you, I want to go ahead and start it off, and then of course you got the next two, and we can. You like this young lady too, by the way, so. Start off the block. We got to get her on because I love playing her music. She is just amazing. She's a little cutie pie, by the way. So, of course, this is one of my favorites from her Kismet Green album. This is music from the lovely Miss Carlita Duran. This is called I Guess. Guys, keep it locked right here at Soul Eye Records Radio.
Don't know. How many times have you said
down before I take him back. Yeah, but then you take him back again.
Music here on Solar Records Radio. I look like I have a caller here. Caller area code 424. Who do we have?
It's me, Carrie Taylor.
Lord have mercy. Look what the cat is drugging. What's going on, girl?
Hi.
Lord, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am fine. Don Fleming has been waiting for you for the longest time, and now he's gone somewhere. He just got off the microphone, but his mic is still there. Turn it on when he's back. How have you been?
I've been good. Just working hard, a lot on my plate, but been working pretty hard trying to get things going, have a show coming up. So been doing a lot of rehearsing and getting prepared for that, as well as back in the studio doing new music. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this show? I mean, what's the name? It's a special name because my daughter heard it and she's like, I want to go. I was like, geez. She's never wanted to go anywhere with us. And when she heard that, she was ready to roll. I'm like, wow. And she's 39. So a 39-year-old want to hang out with us is really like, whoa, you seriously want to hang out with us? So tell us, tell me about it. Tell us.
Well,
about it.
The show is called the Main Street Fest, and it's in Grand Prairie, Texas. It's one of their annual music fests, and they get up to about 300,000 people to come out, and of course they do it every year, but that's why it's annual. And so I was invited to perform, so I'm really excited about it. You know, it's been not a minute since I did something that large, but I'm just excited, and because most of the time I've had to, you know, we contacted the other people for me to get on the shows at this time. They actually, you know, invited me to perform. So I'm pretty excited about it. And we're going to be on a Saturday. It's April the 22nd. And I'm opening up for Climax. So Climax is going to be there too. So, and I have performing with me a lot of really awesome awesome players like Craig T. Cooper is my MD, and so he has the band all locked in, and I've got Kevin Carroll from the Flatters singing with me, Susan Patterson, she used to be with YMV. I have Brandy Taylor, who is a really amazing choreographer. She's dancing and choreographing the show. So it's really exciting. It's a really great, going to be a really great show. Yeah.
So what is the preparation for an artist? I mean, there's a lot of young artists out there that want to do well, exactly what you're doing, and we're watching your career grow and take off. As you know, this is like the third interview I believe we've had with you, one with me, one with Don Fleming, and he said you had to go to an NBA game, so he had to let you go. He's like, she says she's got to go. I said, oh, what? Okay. And so now here you are again. And so, and this is just kind of a short, like, little sweet thing because we just want to make sure that we inform people about this thing that you're doing. And we like to watch you grow. We like to participate in your growth. And so we want to know, like, and for young artists like yourself that are out there doing stuff, what's the preparation? Like, that's got to be a lot of pressure. You got a whole band. You are female with a band that you got to get up to par so that you look good. How does that pressure feel for you?
It's a lot. It's very stressful.
Yes, I get.
But the good thing is that I have. First of all, you have to take care of your. You have to work out, get yourself mentally prepared, physically prepared. There's a lot of learning the songs. Everybody has to learn the songs. Everybody has to do their own thing. So what I usually do is I usually give everybody the song at first. Once I contact everybody and ask, you know, tell them that we're going to be doing the show, I give my MD all the songs, the background singers, because I have three background singers and three dancers. Actually, I have four dancers, but I'm only taking three with me this time, and a five-piece band. So all of them have to learn the music. So what we do is like a couple, I'll say 3 months before the show, everybody is like learning the material, and you have to depend on everybody's expertise and professionalism, you know, because you have to make sure the people that are working with you are professional and not playing around, because when you bring your, once you, you everybody has all the music, they have a chance to learn it. And then I have to learn all the songs too. The dancers have to learn all the songs. The choreography has to be done. You have to really depend on everybody being professional and doing what they're supposed to do. And then after that, we come together. I rehearse after they've had the music for at least a month. And that following month, then I come together with each party. Like I come together with the band by myself. I come together with the dancers by myself. And then I come together with the background vocalist, you know, by myself. And we tighten that up. And then the band, the MD, holds, depends on what kind of show it is, between one or three rehearsals. So for this show, because of the magnitude of this show, we're coming together, what is this, April 1st? Yeah.
No, so we're almost coming, there.
No, we're not there yet. Okay, so in April, next month, we're all coming together with the band and to tighten up everything. So we'll have two rehearsals. Actually, only having two with the band. So we're going to have an eight-hour rehearsal with the band and then a dress rehearsal with the band. Tighten everything up and you know, get the tweaks and make the show look, you know, put the show all together the way we want it to look. And then we're on that stage. So I'm really depending on the professionals to do what they're supposed to do. And that's what it takes. But mainly it takes for the artists just to make sure that they have the right people with them. They got to work out. They got to learn the material. They got to be professional. And in my case, I'm doing, there's a lot of other hacks that I have to fill too, because, you know, being an independent artist, there are certain things that maybe a major artist might have someone doing, whereas me, I have to do it myself being an independent artist.
Right, right. Well, listen, Don is here. I know he has a question, but I got to ask you his last question. I'm going to let Don get to you. I need to know, how does it feel to be recognized by the BMA and to be nominated in three different categories?
It feels, that was during a time when I did work with Duet, and he's an amazing musician, and he called me in on a to do actually one song, and I ended up doing the entire album, all background vocals on the album, and I think there was only maybe one song that I didn't do by myself, but
wow.
That was very exciting because I didn't expect that. Had never been nominated for anything before, and so that in itself was amazing and exciting. That's how it felt, amazing and exciting.
Well, we'd like to congratulate you from Solar Records Radio, and all of us from Solar Records Radio would like to congratulate you on that. And we're very proud of you. And keep on keeping on. Keep on doing your thing. I started the show off with Fallen for you. And then after Don is finished, I want to play another one of your songs.
As I'm finished.
After Don.
Well, as I'm finished.
Okay, after he gets his little bitty.
After he's done with his little thing. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, how are you doing,
Dad? I'm good. First of all, let me just say this. You know, I want to go ahead and just send you my deepest sympathies and condolences to you. Of course, your mom passed coming up on a year now. And so I just want to go ahead and just send my hearts and visual hearts and flowers to you and everything on that. You know, and also my mom, it'll be 2 years in July. So, but I wanted to go ahead. Yeah, yeah. I want to go ahead and just ask you, it's just a simple question. And, of course, I'm glad. I love it when you're on and hanging out and everything. The tour, do you have anything coming up later in the year? I'm just trying to put a bug in you so that all the people know when Carrie's coming to their town.
Well, after this particular show, I do have some more shows coming up. They haven't been confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be out here in California, but I actually will be going right back into the studio because I'm doing new music, and so I really want to get this new music out there. So I'm excited. I know in July I have a show coming up, but that's not been confirmed yet.
Okay.
I have a few, but I'm just waiting on for the confirmations to come in. So I don't really want to say, but hey, you know, we're coming to this town, so don't go there because I'm not sure exactly sure it's gonna go through. I just want to make sure
I got
contracts in hand and stuff like that. So
I got you.
But mainly just working on this new music, this new album, getting it out there. That's my focus right now.
Is Falling For You on that album?
No, actually, Falling For You is one of the ones from my other album, but I just it's been released, but I hadn't pushed it yet. So
okay.
I might put it back on there because I actually got a lot of people saying that they really like that song. So, yeah.
Okay. What about Smooth and Tight? What was that?
Smooth and Tight is my most recent release, and I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something on the jazz side, and it actually is. It was a call it. It was actually like. A song that we were kind of testing the water, so to speak, to see if people would like that from me. And I think people really like it. I just think they like the R&B. The Caught Up is kind of doing its own thing. It's kind of taken off silently in the background, regardless of what I release. Caught Up, it seems to be the one that everybody likes, so that I think that's the area I need to stay in.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely, I really enjoy Caught Up. That's a good one.
Caught Up, everybody loves Caught Up. That's the one that's silently in the background just doing its thing. It's being played on several radio stations. It's in rotation on a radio station called the Real Urban Radio Network. That's out like all over the world actually. But it
gives her her flowers while she's here.
Excuse me?
No, that's right. Give you your flowers while you're here.
Yeah, exactly. So that song is being played, you know, in rotation.
That's great.
It's in Canada. It's in the UK. It's in Africa. It's in Sweden. Actually, I'm doing really well in Sweden for some reason. And so, yeah, it's really doing well. It's being played like with all the majors on that network. So
that's
yeah.
Amazing. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Don?
Thank you.
I'm just glad, you know, we're able to bless the phone lines and hang out with us again. Definitely gonna look forward to some of your new music and I don't know, man, we might have to hit up that Grand Prairie thing, man. You know, it's just I'm near. So It's April 22nd,
so
right?
Where,
or the 1st to the 23rd.
Where exactly is it?
It's Grand Prairie, Texas. It's on the Main Street, their Main Street, which is their downtown area.
Okay,
and
what's the date? What's the date again?
Well, the festival is for 3 days, actually.
Right.
It's
okay.
From the 21st to 23rd, but we're only performing on the 22nd, and we're going to be on that. That's another exciting thing. We're going to be on that main stage, so I'm excited about that.
And so and that's in April, right?
Yeah, April 22nd.
Okay.
And I come on at 8:30 p.m.
Okay. All right, cool. Now, listen, I have a question from the listeners. They say, this is from the listeners, and they said, in the video of I'm Moving Up, who came up with the story for the video, and who and did it make you glad you don't have an office job? Oh, Lord.
Listen. My producer actually came up with the vision for the video, and he's a good person. Wendell Wellman. He has a good,
I know Wendell.
Mindset for visual things, and he came up with that's Wendell. That was Wendell did that, his thing on that, and I added my little two cents in, but that was really all Wendell. And yes, I am glad I don't have an office job, because it was really, it really came off the way we kind of wanted it to, showing how the different girls, they don't do their work. They get paid, but they're not doing their job. They're gossiping and they're hating. But mainly that particular video and that song actually was done in the, we'll post this for people to come on. It was really done during the pandemic. And it was, we were trying to think of a happy song, something that would make the world feel good. We were aiming for something that felt good. And what better way to show it is to showing how a person could. It's not just the fact, it's an office job. You're in an office setting, but you can put that feeling on everything that you do. When you're in a negative environment and you're going through things and you have negative people, you have toxicity, and things are not, you're not mentally where you want to be. This song was just to show that you can get out of that. You can look forward to positive things if you surround just positive thinking, positive people. If you're focused, if you don't let that negativity bring you down, you can surpass that. You can be successful.
Mm.
So really, it's the idea that no matter what negative environment you're in, no matter what you're going through, you can get through that and be successful. So that's what really what the song is about. That was the intention of the song.
Okay.
And what better way to show it in a
beautiful
office
concept.
Setting? That's where people are most of the time in their life during the day. They're at work and they're dealing with all these negative things that you can get through it.
Yes. In Sheep Clothing was your acting debut. Do you remember the opening night, and how nervous were you?
I do remember it. And it's so funny because the play was written by a friend of mine, Robert, and he had written that play like years before he actually did it. And I was in another play of his. Actually, I think I had done that same play a few years prior, and he wanted to bring it back on a higher level. And so he asked me to do it, and I was like, can I do this? I remember, in middle school, I did some drama. And I actually did minor in college in theatrics, but I never, I was never the lead, and I didn't have that much confidence in myself. And he said, I think you can do this. And that first night that I got on that stage, I forgot all my fears. It's just like when I perform, I get on stage, and that seems to be the place that I'm supposed to be, performing in front of people. And I got up there and I did my thing, and it was very exciting. I had never, like I said, been a lead before, but I was able to get up there and remember my lines. It's a lot of pressure, but it kind of came naturally. So, and I actually enjoyed it.
Do you wish you had a singing line instead of a speaking line?
I did actually have a singing line. I also have a singing line too. In that play too. So that it was a musical. So yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I had a few, three or four singing lines in that. In that play.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Don.
No. I was. I'm looking forward to. Is it on? What's it on? Is it on like? I'm just throwing out Netflix or. Where can I see?
No, I don't know. No, because I don't think they. I don't think they videoed that the people that were putting the show together.
Oh.
I don't believe they did a video, unfortunately. But you know what? That's a good thing for me to do, to check in with one of the producers to see if they ever videoed that play. That would have been exciting to see it again.
Nice.
After all this time. Yeah. But no, not that I know of.
I gotcha.
Okay. Okay, so we are running out of time here. I want you to tell us about this song before I play it in closing, Smooth and Tight. Can you just, is there a story or something that you want to share about that recording it or the lyrics or just anything about it?
Now, what song are you getting ready to play now?
Smooth and Tight.
Ah.
Ah.
Smooth and Tight. What can I say about this wonderful song? Smooth and Tight. This song is one of the songs that I'm into building men up. We have so many songs that don't build men up. We have a lot of songs like I'm gonna bust the windows out your car. Songs that build women up, and our poor men are just in the background getting beat up a lot. I didn't want my songs to be like that. I didn't want any of my music to put down men. I wanted to, because I'm all about love, I call out my friends, family, and fans, K-Love, and I just wanted to do some music that will make
a man feel like, you know, women actually care about them. And Moving Tight happened to be one of those songs. And when I wrote the song, I was wondering, you know, how can we show positive love, and how can we show good relationships? There's so many divorces. There's so many people out there that we don't see positive images of men. We don't see our sons, the young men. They don't have positive influences. And I'm not saying that it's a woman's fault that those things happen, but it's just like men have been beaten up a lot. And so I'm in my music. I don't think that I've had any songs to kind of beat down on the man. There's one song that I haven't released yet. It's called I've Had Enough, but that's just kind of saying, you know, I've had enough of being, you know, not treated properly or something like that, but it's not a song where you're beating down a man. So I wanted to write something very positive to show who I am in terms of how I feel about relationships. And so Smooth and Tight is that song. You know, it tells about a beautiful relationship. And it really, really doesn't have to be, you know, a relationship with a man. It could be like with your creator. But it's just showing how a beautiful relationship should be, and how we should love, how love should be in a relationship. And that's what Smooth and Tight is about.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to close out with. And we want to thank you so much for coming on and blessing us.
Yes.
And thank you. We got like 4 minutes left, so I want to get as much of this song to play. Thank you so much, sweetheart. And we just
thank
wish you
for having me. Thank you for having me. And anybody wants to connect with me, just go to all of my social medias, Facebook, and all of my social media platforms. You can go to Carrie R. Taylor. So it's Instagram, Carrie R. Taylor, and Facebook, Carrie R. Taylor. That's on my Carrie R. Taylor Music. And come to the show if you can, Main Street Fest, April 22nd.
That's right.
I'll be on that main stage.
Come on down.
Well, are you going?
Yeah. She's which day out of the three? Which day are you there?
22nd, right?
I'm on Saturday, the best day.
Saturday, okay.
And you
open it up for
enjoying all the festivities. They have art. They have other people performing on the smaller stages. It's similar to Taste of Soul.
Okay.
something similar to that. And so.
Okay.
So come on out.
Cool beans. Yeah,
thank you guys for having me. I appreciate your support so much.
Oh, you got it. We're going to meet you down there. Make sure you remember us when we get there.
Yay.
I know. You like security? Security.
We're going to have to go to a hotel room and just you know, hang outside the door.
Stalk.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. God bless you. You guys take care.
Gotta have
everyone
talk soon.
Yes.
All right. Bye, sweetie. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. God bless you. We'll be on tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Throwback Thursday, Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr. Much love and God bless.
And hopefully, I'll come back on right before I leave.
All right. There you go. Come on down.
There you go.
You're always welcome. I want to give a shout out to our team, Greg and Astrid. Much love to you guys. Thank you. Both of them are overseas. And so what a blessing they are. Thank you guys. Love you all.
Thank you, Greg, for all of the I want to thank Greg for all of the flyers, too. Thanks so much for everything.
Yes. Thank you, Greg. All right, guys. God bless. We'll see you later. Good night, guys.
Bye.
I'm running out of time.
Not high, that instantly I fell for you, and you fell for me too. Oh, how you show me that a love between two can be so beautiful, this long and lasting love.
Hello?